So church, speaking of party and a good time, anybody ever been to New Orleans? I've been there once, and our family, we want to go back. It's a lot of fun. And we went there a few years ago, and I learned something. So there we were, the Fletcher Five. We're just walking down and looking for the next beignet place, minding our own business. And all of a sudden, we look down, you can hear the drums. You can hear music. You can always hear music in New Orleans, but we heard some new music coming. We saw people dancing, and I kid you not, in a matter of seconds, the entire street cleared because a parade came out of nowhere there in New Orleans. And I remember watching this parade. It didn't last very long, but it was so cool. Out of nowhere, people singing, dancing, having the greatest time, and then everybody else got back to normal. I thought, that's my kind of place. I've always wanted to do that in Corpus Christi. I can't find nobody who wants to be in my parade with me. So if you see me with my tambourine by myself, you know what I'm doing, right? So I tell you that because I feel like today, Palm Sunday, now we call it Palm Sunday, that's not from scripture or anything, but I feel like Palm Sunday is a little like New Orleans and those parades that just seem to pop up out of nowhere. If you heard the reading that we had outside before we processed in, this parade that happens kind of comes out of nowhere. Matthew says that Jesus sent his disciples to get a bunch of things ready. Jesus walked into Jerusalem and then boom, a parade happens. Crowds started throwing their jackets on the ground. We just give you palm branches. We don't ask you to throw your coats on the ground. They started waving palm branches and shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." So these parades happening in Jerusalem. But I also got to thinking about imagining how these parades happen in New Orleans. That these parades don't actually just happen. Somebody planned them. Somebody got the band together. Somebody decided what we're going to play. Somebody decided what street we're going to march on. Somebody decided what time to meet. And so that all that went into something that felt spontaneous, but was actually something that had been planned. There was a lot of unseen work. And I'm going to offer to you today, church, that that is Palm Sunday too. That there is a lot of unseen work that we forget about that is important for Palm Sunday, but more important for us to understand about what's happening on that day that means something for us today. What reads like a sudden eruption of praise in Jerusalem is actually built on several previous acts of obedience that we're going to remind ourselves of today. To do that, I want you to keep in mind a couple things. I want you to remember that before the crowd had something to shout about, the disciples had already walked back and forth doing what Jesus had asked them to do. Before there was a reason for anyone to wave palm branches, somebody had to go get a donkey. Somebody had to let go of a donkey. And before this parade seemingly started out of nowhere, Jesus had to give instructions. Instructions that I think are not just for that parade that day, but for our lives today just the same. So I don't want you to hear the suddenness of everything that happened today and miss something important. That peace, that the King of Peace who rode in and the peace that he brings, it might look like it just shows up out of nowhere, but in the kingdom of God, peace is no accident. Peace is not just something that happens. It's something that forms and brews. Remember, Jesus has told his disciples, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me." And then he says, if anyone asks you, "Hey, what are you doing with my donkey?" You just tell them, "The Lord needs them." The Lord needs them. And that person will immediately say, "Okay." Now, let's kind of put ourselves in a situation. That's the plan. Hey, disciples, I want you to go take somebody's donkey, and when they start getting mad at you, just say, hey, calamate, bro. The Lord needs them. Try that next time. Okay? But there's no plan. There's nothing that the disciples can see that Jesus is forming. There's just this donkey they're supposed to go get. And I think we often forget about the person who owns the donkey. We forget there is a whole person behind that donkey. There is somebody who saved up money at one point and bought that animal. Somebody who has cared for that animal. And they woke up that day and they fed the donkey. And I mean, I don't know what you do with donkeys. You water them. I don't know what you do. But whatever you do with donkeys, that person did for that donkey what that person had been doing for who knows how long. And that little bitty act of ordinary faithfulness was about to be caught up in the movement of God. Think about that. Think about what we are willing to give up for God's glory. Now, these disciples of Jesus, they show up and they untie something that doesn't belong to them. I usually get in trouble for that as a kid, y'all. They untie something that doesn't belong to them. And when somebody asks, like anybody would, what are you doing? They say those four words, the Lord needs it. I'm joking about telling other people the Lord needs it. Sometimes you got to tell yourself, the Lord needs it. The Lord needs it. Now, maybe Jesus had already made arrangements beforehand, and that's quite possible. But I'm gonna offer to you that at least as we read the story, there's no contract, there's no negotiation back and forth. The person doesn't say, all right, fine, but tell them to have it back by 5 o'clock. All right, nothing like that. What this person does, whoever it was, he just releases it. And that means that the King of Peace parade that was about to begin started after somebody was willing to let go of something that was important to them, something that mattered in their life, something that they heard those four words, the Lord needs it. And those words became important to them. Somebody had to let go for this parade to begin. Now I want you to think about the disciples. Thought about the person who owned the donkey. Now I want you to think about the disciples. They didn't have the parade plans. They just had the instructions of Jesus. Now, I don't know if you've ever been a disciple like this, but I want you to pay attention. I don't read this as like a glamorous assignment. Hey, go get a donkey. Right? I want the good stuff. I want the important stuff. I want the assignment that matters. But Jesus, he doesn't tell the disciples, hey, go preach a revival. He doesn't tell them, go find a good group of people and go do something miraculous for them. He says, go get a donkey. And sisters and brothers, I want to offer to you that that's ministry. Getting the donkey is ministry. And I want you to imagine those disciples. They're in front of Jesus and, wow, we're coming into Jerusalem. This is going to be great. Jesus has taught us so many things. He's done so many amazing things. And now he's got something for us to do. Go get a donkey. But I want you to see them walking to the village ahead, talking about what they're going to do. You think this is going to work? But I want you to see them following through. I want you to see them going up to the donkey lane. You think this is the one? Yeah, I think so. I want you to see the disciple getting caught by the owner. What are you doing? Look here, brother. The Lord needs it. Okay. can you believe that worked? I want you to see these disciples simply doing what Jesus asked them to do. Excuse me. And because they did, now they bring in this animal. They place their cloaks over. Excuse me. Jesus gets on the donkey now. People see that image, and the crowd goes nuts. This parade welcoming in the King of Peace happens through the obedience of the disciples. Even the obedience of something simple like, go get the donkey. All they did is do what Jesus asked them to do, which makes me think that sometimes peace looks like running errands. Doing what needs to be done, simply because it needs to be done. And as I think about that simple thing, I can't help but also wonder how often we miss what God is doing, perhaps because it doesn't feel big enough or important enough to us. It doesn't feel grand enough or important enough. Like we are waiting for a moment, and we don't say this out loud, but what we say in our hearts is, well, we'll jump in when things start to get lively. That we will start moving when other people get involved. We're always waiting on someone else. But that is not the attitude of obedience or faithfulness that leads to the glory of God, sisters and brothers. I feel like a lot of us as Christians, we want the parade in our life, but we don't want to do the work that comes before it. We want the celebration. We want the joyful stuff, of course. But what about the little things that Jesus is asking us to do? God has given us instructions, sisters and brothers, but quite often we are waiting for the crowds to show up instead, not realizing that God is still sending us into the villages, so to speak, still sending us to go get the donkey. While we are waiting for something that looks and feels important, Jesus is still standing there saying, just do what I told you to do. And let that be enough. What did Jesus tell us to do? Love your neighbor. Oh, now I get it. Now I know why we don't want to do that. What did Jesus tell us to do? Forgive our enemies. It all makes sense now, doesn't it? But these are the things Jesus is telling us to do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Ah, but if I do that, am I going to have enough room to love other things that I really want to love? Jesus is still giving the instructions, sisters and brothers. Do what he said. But here's the tension in this story that we know all these years later that we've had time to reflect on and think about. The people who were in that parade that day, who were waving their palm branches, probably like some of you were, singing and shouting, they were happy because they saw Jesus coming in, they recognized, here comes the king. Ah, it's true. You remember so many times in the Gospels he would tell people, shh, don't tell people about me. But now he was saying, oh, no, 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 you don't even have to tell them. They're going to see me, and they're going to know. And he was right. All he did was get on that donkey, and people said, oh, it's happening. Here it comes, the king. But as they shouted, Hosanna, which means save us, what they were really hoping Jesus would do is fix this, Jesus. Fix the government that's got us under its thumb. Put us in places of power. Make things right for us. Be the king we expect you to be. Sisters and brothers, they are ready for power, which is why they are so excited. They are ready for a hostile takeover. They are ready for a version of peace that Jesus wasn't there to bring. But what does Jesus do? He doesn't say you got to give the people what they want. He comes riding in on the donkey the disciples went to go find, which is a sign of peace. He could have very well said, go give me one of them cool horses that the emperor on the other side of town in his parade is coming in on. See, the horse is the war horse. It's victory and it's power and it's dominance. It's we won, and it's you better believe we won. And you better believe you're going to stay in line, or we'll have victory over you too. And instead of saying, I want that horse, Jesus said, I want the donkey. Because the donkey is a sign of peace. And we have to notice the difference, sisters and brothers, in what's happening that day when all the people are shouting, when the crowd is loud. The kingdom of God, the Prince of Peace, is coming in humbly and quiet. When the crowd wanted instant peace, we look back on the life of Jesus and realize that through his ministry, through his teaching, through his death, through his resurrection, and through his ascension, he is building intentional peace. The crowd is ready to take, but Jesus is asking people to give. The crowd wants that king on the war horse, but Jesus came in on something borrowed from someone else. And what they missed that day and what we often miss today in our lives is that the peace of Jesus does not come through force, because it's not that kind of peace. That's not even real peace. The peace of Christ is formed through our faithfulness to God. It's our small acts, it's our quiet obedience. It is our willingness to submit to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And the peace of Christ comes when ordinary people like you and like me say yes, when it would be a whole lot easier to say no. Because often it is very easy to hear the words of Jesus and say no. And I think that's the part right there that we don't like. We want the peace. We want the peace in our homes, but we want it the way we want it. We want peace in our relationships, we say, but don't make me talk about forgiveness. We want peace in our communities and in our nation, but we don't want to have the important conversations to do that. We just want to call each other names and post stupid stuff online. We say we want this peace, but we're not listening to the way Jesus is telling us to have it. We want the parade, but we're not so sure about the king on the donkey at the center of it all. Sisters and brothers, we say all the time that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? And part of what I think that means is that Jesus is still giving us instructions. He's still saying, go, do the little things, go untie something, go be a blessing somehow, bring it here, let it go, trust me. He's still telling us these same things. Do the small thing. But we keep thinking that can't be enough. We've got to do something else. Maybe Jesus didn't know what life would be like in the 21st century. And so we try to do our own things instead of the things that God has called us to do. And then wonder why we don't have the peace and the promises that God has said is ours to have. When the crowd shouted, Hosanna, save us, they didn't pay attention to the obedience that made the parade happen. They didn't know about the borrowed donkey. They didn't know about the disciples going ahead in town and coming back and then coming back into Jerusalem. They didn't know about the willing owner. And they certainly didn't understand the Savior that was coming through. A Savior who refuses the shortcuts to peace. And so, sisters and brothers, I want to offer to you that if you want the peace of Christ, who would not want the peace of Christ? We can't take shortcuts to it. We can't do this and expect things to change. We've got to stay faithful to the things that God had called us to do and to the people that God has called us to be. I want you to think about what your life and ministry look like right now. I want you to think about what may feel small to you, but requires a little bit of trust. Trust enough that if God told you to do it, if Jesus is leading you that way, then that is enough. That it doesn't have to be spectacular, doesn't have to be grand, it doesn't have to be something we put in the church bulletin. It's just something that you do because you feel that God has called you to do it. Think about that, what that looks like in your life right now. What are you holding on to, sisters and brothers, that you need to let go of because the Lord needs it? And where are you being sent that may feel ordinary to you, but is actually, may actually be a part of the movement of God that you just can't see yet? That's what's happening behind the scenes in this parade that just comes out of nowhere. People are being faithful to what Jesus has asked them to do. So this week, sisters and brothers, do not wait for the crowd. The crowd can turn, by the way. Can they not? We all know that story. Hosanna today, crucify him Friday. So don't wait for the crowd. Don't wait for some big moment that you think feels big enough. Don't wait for the noise to accumulate. Listen and obey. Isn't that the hymn we sing sometimes? Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Oh, Lord, I was hoping you'd show me there's another way. That's why we're here, sisters and brothers. If you will take that step, if you will obey, if you will loosen your grip, if you will do the errand, if you will do the thing, you might just discover that you are a part of the way that Jesus is bringing peace in the world. And that is worth celebrating and giving thanks to God for. Your life that you have trusted to God, that you have believed is in God's hand, that as God takes care of you, and that as you decide that even in the small things, you will be obedient to the calling of Christ, that through all of that, God will bring peace to the world. And not even just to the world, to your world. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.